Good afternoon, and welcome to the SMTC second quarter 2019 earnings conference call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing star then zero on your telephone keypad. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. Please note this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Blair McInnes, Vice President. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Before we begin the call, I'd like to remind everybody that the presentation will include statements about expected future events and financial results that are forward-looking in nature and subject to risks and uncertainties. The company cautions that actual performance will be affected by a number of factors, many of which are beyond the company's control, and that future events and results may vary substantially from what the company currently foresees. Discussion of the various factors that may affect future results is contained in the company's annual report on Form 10-K, Form 10-Q, and subsequent reports on Form 8-K and other filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. All forward-looking statements are made as of the date of this call, and except as required by law, we do not intend to update this information. This conference call will also be available for audio replay in the investor relations section of SMTC's website at www.smtc.com. Information about upcoming investor conferences in which SMTC will be participating will be posted on the investor calendar on our website and include Dougherty's 2019 Institutional Investor Conference in Minneapolis, Craig-Hallum's Alpha Select in New York, and the 12th Annual LD Micro Main Event in Montana. I'll now pass the call over to Eddie Smith, SMTC's President and Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Blair, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Eddie Smith, SMTC's President and Chief Executive Officer. On this call with me today is Rich Fitzgerald, our Chief Operating Officer, and Steve Wozniak, SMTC's Chief Financial Officer. As the press release we issued after the market closed today indicates, we have completed our integration activities of MC Assembly. We've continued to improve our operational efficiencies, and we reported strong year-over-year growth in revenue and adjusted EBITDA, which remains on track to show substantial growth over last year and within the range of our previously communicated guidance. Steve will discuss our financial results for the second quarter and guidance for the balance of 2019. Following Steve's review of our second quarter results and outlook for 2019, I'll share my thoughts on our progress made and priorities as we focus on providing our customers with best-in-class service and delivering increasing shareholder value. To Steve Wozniak.
Thank you, Eddie. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining and taking the time to join us. As Eddie mentioned, we will start the call with my review of the second quarter financial results, and then I'll turn the call back to Eddie for his comments on the business. As we did in the last quarter's conference call, I will be referencing three sets of numbers. First, our 2019 quarter, which includes combined SMTC and MC Assembly results. Second, 2018 year-over-year, which, as we mentioned, includes as previously reported GAAP numbers by SMTC, which, as a reminder, includes MC Assembly from the acquisition date of November 9th, 2018. Finally, you will hear the word pro forma, and this will include SMTC and MC Assembly, assuming MC was part of SMTC for the entire second quarter of 2018. Now, for the results. Our revenue in the second quarter was $90.9 million, up 104% compared to $44.5 million, as previously reported in the second quarter of 2018. On a pro forma basis, assuming MC Assembly had been part of SMTC in the second quarter of 2018, revenue increased 10.9% in Q2 2019 compared to the second quarter of 2018. Approximately $3.4 million of this revenue reported in the second quarter of 2019 was due to the impact of the revenue accounting standard for ASC 606, compared to $1.3 million of the revenues in the same period in the prior year. During 2019, we can report we had one 10% customer in that period. On a GAAP basis, gross profit for the second quarter of 2019 was $9 million, or 9.9% of revenues, compared to $4.3 million, or 9.6% of revenues, as previously reported in the second quarter of 2018. This year-over-year increase in the GAAP gross margin percentage was primarily due to the $46.4 million increase in revenues quarter-over-quarter for the acquisition of MC Assembly. our 2019 adjusted gross profit, which is a non-GAAP measure, was $10.8 million, or 11.9% of revenue, and excludes non-cash $1.8 million of amortization of intangibles recorded in connection with our transformative acquisition of MC Assemblies last year. In comparison, Q2 2018 adjusted gross profit was $4.4 million, or 9.8% of revenues. Selling, general, administrative expenses for Q2 2019 was $6.6 million, up $3.7 million as reported in the same period of 2018. As a percent of revenues, SG&A decreased to 7.3% of revenues in Q2 2019 compared to 8.2% of revenues in the same period as reported in 2018. This is as a function primarily of higher revenues in Q2 2019. We reported $2.5 million net loss in the second quarter of 2019, which included $1.5 million of restructuring charges, which was primarily associated with the integration of MC Assembly. In comparison, the company reported a net loss of $97,000 in the same period a year ago. Now, adjusted EBITDA increased 208% to $6.1 million in Q2 2019, as compared to $1.6 million as previously reported in the same period of 2018. Q2 2019 adjusted gross EBITDA jumped 78% over the prior year on a pro forma basis, again assuming MC and SMTC were combined for the period of Q2 2018. The increase in 2019 second quarter adjusted EBITDA compared to the same period in the prior year was driven by the increase in revenue as well as some operating efficiencies upon the combination of the companies. I'd like to comment on the balance sheet and other key financial metrics that were reported for the quarter. As of the end of Q2 2019, we had $634,000 of cash. Our cash-to-cash cycle was at 74 days, and our DSOs was approximately 64 days, with our DPOs at 71 days. Inventory turnover was at 4.5 turns for the second quarter of 2019. Net debt at the end of the second quarter was $86 million and included the debt incurred in the November 2018 associated with the financing of MC Assembly acquisition of $50 million of Term A, and $12 million of Term B, and $15.6 million of finance and operating leases, of which $5.6 million included in the $15.6 represents operating leases on the right-to-use liabilities associated with adoption on January 1, 2019, of the new accounting standards ASC 842 leases. In comparison, net debt at the end of 2018 was $92.3 million. Net debt excluding our operating leases was $70.4 million as of June 30, 2019, as compared to $80.8 million at the end of 2018. As part of our ongoing activities to improve our capital structure, we completed a rights offering and registered direct offering that generated gross proceeds of $14.6 million at the end of June. On July 3rd, we used $12 million of those proceeds to accelerate payoff of our standing Term B debt. This week, we refinanced our credit agreements. The amended credit agreements recorded and reduced the Term A outstanding balance to approximately $40 million from $50 million. We also expanded our borrowing capacity with improved covenants under these asset-based revolver facilities to $65 million from $45 million to better support our future growth. We remain very focused to improve our efficiencies as well as reshaping our balance sheet to provide further flexibility and added growth capacity. We are currently evaluating a number of alternatives, which Eddie will comment on as well, as we provide additional updates as appropriate. Before turning the call back to Eddie, let me quickly comment on our year's outlook. Customer concerns about the continuing impact of tariffs and macroeconomic factors has caused, as we experienced in the second quarter, many customers to review and begin to revise as to where and with whom they outsource the manufacturing. We believe SMTC is well positioned with our North American facilities, and we expect our customer demand may be impacted over the second half of the year as customers continue to react and adjust to the ongoing geopolitical impacts of the global trade. As a result, our current expectations for the revenue for the adjusted EBITDA for 2019 will more likely approach the lower end of the prior guidance of $393 to $408 million in revenues and $27 to $29 million for adjusted EBITDA for the full year of 2019. With that, allow me to return the call back to Eddie for additional comments on the business.
Thank you, Steve. As the numbers that Steve presented indicate, we continue to make solid progress in building a stronger SMTC. I'll now add some color on the progress made in the second quarter and my priorities for the balance of 2019 and our journey of transforming SMTC into a stronger company. First, we continue to experience robust year-over-year top-line growth across all of our industry sectors, except for semiconductor, capital equipment, and data center sectors. Our sales growth was led by our test and measurement sector, which increased $22.3 million, or 269%, from Q2 of 2018. Our growth in this sector was supported in part by the 5G telecom adoption in Korea. Our industrial, power, and clean tech customers, who grew 13.6%, $13.6 million, or 283%, and our aerospace and defense business, based in Florida, added $4.8 million in sales Q2 2019, compared to zero sales Q2 2018. As I mentioned on the last quarter's conference call, the slow start to the semiconductor sector this year was not surprising, as many in the industry likely double-booked semi-orders last year when there was a supply-constrained environment. As we look ahead, we do not anticipate a rebound for that industry until 2020 at the earliest. On a more positive note, we expect our aerospace and defense business to gain traction over time as past awards for new business to start placing purchase orders and shipments. We have posted a slide deck on the investor relations section of our website that provides the specific revenue contribution for our various market segments. Looking ahead, we expect another year of double-digit revenue growth for SMTC. Our growth is being driven by increased business and several new programs at existing customers, plus the addition of new customers. In the second quarter, we were awarded four new programs for our existing customers, and we expect to see growth from our customers in their existing programs. As important, we added another two new customers in Q2 to our growing customer roster. Second, we completed our integration of MC Assembly in a quarter as expected and started to initiate steps to improve the efficiencies at several of our sites, including the realignment of our workforce and strengthening of on-site leadership at our Fresnillo factory in Zacatecas, Mexico. We have also reviewed and reassigned some customers to specific SMTC teams and plants that would better meet their specific needs. Those initiatives, as well as synergistic cost savings we discussed in the past from the acquisition, are starting to pay off. During the quarter, we upgraded our Fresnillo facility by adding a copy exact full SMTC standalone automated line designed for high volume, low mix enterprise customers' needs and other equipment that will increase our capacity by approximately 25%. Increasing capacity and improving the efficiencies of our Mexican operations is particularly important in light of today's uncertain geopolitical environment. With tariff concerns high in the minds of our customers, we incurred additional costs in the second quarter as we shift some customers' production from our China facility to Mexico. We remain focused on identifying and implementing additional efficiencies in its pursuit of achieving best-in-class operating and financial metrics among our peers. To better support our customers, we expect to open our new product, or NPI, and manufacturing DFX Center of Excellence in Billerica, Massachusetts, this quarter to provide customers with world-class quick-turn manufacturing that can accelerate the launch of products with the flexibility to scale into a low-cost geography that is available from our other sites. Which brings me to the third and final point I'd like to emphasize in today's call, namely our focus on strengthening our balance sheet to support growth. At the end of June, we completed an equity raise for a total of $14.6 million, which we used to pay down our Term B loan. And this week, we have restructured our debt with less restrictive covenants and a higher level of available working capital. In addition, we actively are working to improve how we manage our working capital. For example, we've recently implemented an AR collections improvement plan and taking other steps to increase our inventory turns. Let me wrap this up by saying we remain committed to further deleveraging our balance sheet, achieving industry-leading performance metrics, growing our business to become the premier Tier 3 EMS segment leader, making our company an even stronger company that delights our customers with superior service, taking care of our employees, and rewarding our stockholders with enhanced shareholder value. With that, Steve, Rich, and myself will take questions from those on the call today.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the keys. If at any time your question has been addressed and you would like to withdraw your question, please press star then two. Your first question today comes from Christian Schwab with Craig-Hallum. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. This is Tyler on behalf of Christian. Thanks for letting us ask a few questions.
Sure. How are you doing, Tyler?
I'm doing great. Thanks, guys. So first, I was hoping if you guys could give any other color on the customers or end markets that are being maybe particularly affected by this geopolitical and tariff issues, or if it's really pretty broad-based.
Yeah, so now with the additional it started out in the 25% tariffs on China. It hit specific customers, and it was focused on specific types of products, so it didn't hit all our customers. Obviously, with the new announcement of the additional 10% tariff, it's going to go across all our customers and anything we ship out of our Dongguan facility or products that we buy on the electronics component side for all our facilities in the Americas, in Billerica, Melbourne, and Fremont. So clearly it now has a much broader impact going forward. The other part of it on the tariff thing, Tyler, it was mid-quarter, the uncertainty of the Mexico tariffs. Were they going to happen? Were they not going to happen? How long would they last? What that cost would be? And so we had customers hesitating with did they want to place orders for the future. That I think that will come back. I think that was a short-term issue. I think the Chinese tariff issue is a much longer-term issue, and clearly our customers are looking to move from China to other locations. Many of them are looking to move to Mexico. So I think short-term creates a little uncertainty. Long-term creates an opportunity for our Mexico plants, and that's why we increased the capacity in Mexico to prepare for some of our customers to move out of China and move down to Mexico.
All right, great. And then maybe on the same or similar train of thought, to reach your full-year guidance, the $393 million at the low end, would suggest some decent recovery in the second half. I was wondering if you could provide any thoughts on what the trajectory of that looks like. Are we going to see a ladder step up in Q3, more linear, Q4 weighted? Any thoughts there would be helpful.
Yeah, so I think we're going to see a jump up in Q3 and then a further step up in Q4 on the top line, obviously with the bottom line following at a much quicker pace. You know, the Q2, you had two things going on besides the tariffs. We were very conservative with our working capital and taking additional sales because we were constrained by that Term B loan and the covenants, right? And if we would have spent too much working capital bringing new customers on quickly and used up our working capital, clearly that would have been a problem for us. So now that we have a little bit less restrictive covenants, we have more headroom with a higher ABL, which expands as you add customers, I think we're poised to go back into the significant growth mode quarter after quarter.
That's great. And then last question for me, just on the margins, your gross margins in Q2 here, 11.9, pretty strong, basically at the low end of your 12% to 14% range. Is there anything there you want to call out, anything maybe one time in nature, or, you know, going forward, should we be thinking that you can basically be operating in that range, you know, with recovering revenue?
Yeah, so long term, we said we're going to operate in the 12 to 14 range. And, you know, if you look over the last 2 years, we started in the 7% range and have continued to increase. You know, there's always sometimes short-term blips based on a particular customer, a particular shipment. But over, you know, multiple quarters, we'll continue to increase that to the 12-14 range. There's really nothing in particular special about this quarter. And so as we get more efficient in our factories, I think we quickly will be over 12, heading more closer to 14.
That's great. Thanks, guys. That's all for me.
Thanks, Tyler. Thanks for your time.
Your next question comes from Aman Galani with B. Riley. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my question. So my first question is about the, you said you moved some customers to the Mexico facility. Just wondering, how quickly can those customers start ramping and start benefiting from production in a low-cost region?
Yeah, it's a great question. One that's not easily answered, but I'll do the best I can. Some customers, it's pretty quick. So we're able to get some customers to move from one factory to another within the same quarter. There are other customers that we try to build some buffer stock or revenue because they take longer and you got to go through either PPAP or some other certification, and that could slow down the move. But I would tell you, as a general rule, it's probably between 3 months and 6 months, even with getting approvals and certifications. With doing a really good job, we'll get it in 3 months. Not such a great job, getting it in 6 months.
Got it. Okay. And then just in regards to capacity utilization in your Mexico facilities, where does that stand right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. We put a lot of equipment in last year into our Chihuahua facility. We put a new SMT line in. We put a lot of additional SMT capacity and increased our capacity in Chihuahua by almost 50% last year. So to this quarter, we added in our Zacatecas facility a new line, a high-speed SMT line, and increased that capacity by 25%. So we have enough. I get this question a lot, how much capacity do we have in both facilities? At this point, we could either add more equipment, and for the existing equipment, we're probably in the 60 to 70% range. But if we added more equipment, we probably could double our sales and not have to have another footprint.
Got it. That's helpful. And just, I know last quarter you mentioned that, all the facilities were profitable. Is that still the case?
Yes. Currently,
okay,
all the facilities are profitable. Obviously, the tariff effect, right, I'm not naive to know the tariff effect is going to have some effect on not only our China facility, but it may have effect on some of our smaller U.S. facilities. We're evaluating that now, and then we'll take whatever appropriate action to try to make it, hurt as little as possible.
Got it. Okay. And then can you talk about, are you seeing any component shortages out there? I mean, I know last year there was a tightness with MLCCs, but, has that largely loosened up now?
I could sell you all kinds of components if you had money at this point.
Okay.
No doubt about it. The lead times are, you may get a spot shortage, but we no longer worry about lead times. And I actually think some of the softness on our top line this particular quarter was caused by customers had overbooked or held safety stock and now are burning that safety stock off. And that's why I think we'll see the step function of sales in Q3, Q4. I think this is really the step time. I also have some slides I can share with you, Aman, about from the peak to the trough on the components, where it looks in terms of lead times. And I think lead times are down about across the board in the U.S., about 38% from where they were at the peak.
Okay, that's helpful. Yeah, that would be great. And then last question from me. Can you talk about, the amount of work you're doing on NPIs? Are you doing more NPIs than you were last year? And then, are a lot of the NPIs that you were doing, towards the end of last year, are you seeing them ramp up now?
Yeah, so we did 32 specific NPI orders in Q2. We just started the breaking that out. So we are now starting to take NPI-specific orders. So what used to happen is we'd get NPI, we'd build the NPI in our production factories, and then we'd move to production. But that was really slow for some of our customers, and they were not happy. So this is a clearly customer convenience, but I think it's happened so quickly. We have more and more of our customers moving towards this, hey, we'll do NPI locally, and then we'll do production in a low-cost region.
Got it. Thank you. I'll pass it on.
Thanks, Aman. You have a great day.
Your next question comes from Lucas Davenport with Retail. Please go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I'll be very brief. Just a few questions. The first one is, how much money was saved with the refinancing and the term be paid off with the interest payments quarterly? Can you give a ballpark figure on that?
So we think, a ballpark would be yearly savings about $3 million in interest expense.
Excellent. In which quarter do you expect to, I know you talked about ramped up sales in the Q3 and Q4, but when do you expect to see significant growth from the aerospace and defense businesses? Is that in Q4?
Well, we're seeing growth, obviously, going from zero to, you know, the $16 million plus run rate in 1 year. We continue to win orders and from our existing customers and new customers, and so that'll continue to ramp up. You know, over the next couple quarters, we have some pretty significant quotes out, and if we were to win them, it normally takes from win to actual production about 6 months in the aerospace and defense. So I would tell you, a whatever you want to call it, a huge jump will probably be 6 months out or so.
Okay. And the last question I had is, when do you expect to be able to obtain profitability? In what quarter? Thank you.
When you say profitability, are you talking net income profitability, or are you talking about EBITDA profitability?
And net income.
Yeah, Lucas, this is Steve Wozniak, CFO. I think we'll continue this year to be very close to it. We had this quarter we had some restructuring charges with the acquisition with MC, but I think certainly by Q1 of next year, if not a quarter sooner than that, but certainly by Q1 of next year, consistently showing that. So we've got all the restructuring charges behind us and things of that nature.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. You have a great day.
You too.
Again, if you have a question, please press star then one. I'll now give you a short moment to register your questions. Your next question comes from Robert Poria with AIS. Please go ahead.
Hello, Ed. How are you doing?
Not bad. How are you, Robert?
Good. Thank you. I was just wondering, out of curiosity, I know tariffs and political issues have been an issue, but coming on board from where the existing board that we have now, there must be a number of contacts and positions that we can avail ourselves to. I'm just wondering, is this working out in any way? I mean, are we bringing anything on with us?
Say that one more time. I don't think I understood the question or I didn't hear it properly.
I'm sorry. I know with the tariffs and the political issues, but coming on board to SMTC and the people that you've brought with you, there's a lot of possible contacts out there in contracts or existing clients that you must have something in the offering that you can bring on board to SMTC that people know you and they trust you and they'll move on. I don't know. It's just, I'm just wondering.
Well,
is there anything out there that,
sure.
I don't know.
Sure. We went from $120 million run rate the day I walked in the door to almost $400 million run rate. And we've added new customers, new market segments. And some of that is from our contacts and those type of things. I'm not sure what you're asking me. If it's in terms of growth, we've had double-digit growth. Last quarter it was 50% year-on-year. This quarter it was 10-plus. I'm not sure what the question is other than we'll continue to grow. We'll continue to use our contacts to grow, and we'll continue to do what we do. If you're asking are we going to grow faster, we did have to be careful in our growth in Q2 because of our banking covenants, and so we were much more careful. But we're also doing an integration, and during an integration, we grew way quicker from Q4 to Q1 than I had expected. And obviously, it ate up some of our working capital, and we need to be cautious with that.
No, that's good. You know, the thing is, I've been here for many, many years, and you get frustrated. And sometimes you really don't know the questions to ask, and sometimes other people don't ask the questions that you think they would ask. But I'm trying to liven up this conference call a little bit because it's been so long here. And I know everybody's getting frustrated. You go to the chat boards or whatever you talk to. And you just don't know where to turn anymore. And I just don't want to see a sell-off. I want people to feel confident, and that's all I'm trying to look for, you know? This is the first time I really talked on this board, and I've been here for probably 15 years, you know?
Yeah, here's what I would tell you. So we've grown faster than any other EMS provider in the industry, or one of the top couple over the last 2 years. Our EBITDA now is either number one or number two in tier 3% EBITDA, which is really how companies like ours get rated. We'll continue to grow. We'll continue to make our EBITDA. And as somebody asked a question earlier about gross margins, we're number two in gross margin now. So we went from being one of those companies that didn't do a very good job to a company that I think will be a premier company. And so hopefully that livens it up and cuts down the chat board stuff. But the reality is my job and the rest of my team's job is to go run the best company we can run, which we think going from worst to first is a pretty good job in 2 years, and we'll go from there. And hopefully that livens up the call.
You know, I want to thank you for that, but you have to understand the frustration of many shareholders when you've seen the previous board members and presidents and situations that we've come through. And I think what you're doing is right, but sometimes it's hard to really relay that to the shareholders at the same time. You know what I'm trying to say?
We do a lot of conferences, and we show the progression to be best in class. There's a slide. Go look under our investor relations slide. We show the progression of going from a company that was negative EBITDA to a company that this quarter made more than 7% EBITDA and margin that was in 7 to margin that now is second to only one of the EMS companies that are public that report. And so I feel pretty confident we're in the right direction. We'll continue to do that. I want to thank you for your question, and I want to thank, and let me just kind of read a closing statement. In closing, I want to thank our employees, leadership team, business partners, distributors, and our stockholders for their support, and look forward to reporting our progress to our various stakeholders over the next several quarters. Thank you, and have a great night.
The conference has now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.